Welcome to My Take on It with Your Angelic Karma. If you are interested in sharing your story in a future broadcast, send an email to yourangelicstories@gmail.com. Here she is, folks, your host, the one, the only, the also beautiful, Your Angelic Karma.
To My Take on It with Your Angelic Karma. Today is Thursday, July 22nd, and we're going to talk about something pretty serious, and you all know how we do it here on the show. We answer other people's questions, and we go to the word on the street as those people give their opinions, their perspective, and we decide if we're in agreement, if we're not, if we feel that they're on course, if they're off course, if they hit it out the ballpark, and we also look at what else we can add to the discussion that is productive. And the question is, la pregunta es, ¿cuál es su estrategia para ayudar a las personas sin jugar? What is your, we're talking about the homeless today. And I'm going to title the podcast, we're live right now, so I'm not decided yet. It depends on how it goes as I'm speaking and what the word is on the street, because I don't know what they're going to say yet. So I think I'm going to title it The United States as a Third World Country. And I'm going to tell you all from my perspective why I'm thinking of giving it that title. So that's the question. The question is, is what is your strategy to help the homeless? Now, which could be, that was the actual question that came in. I would word it myself personally as, what is the solution for homelessness in the United States? That's the way that I would word it. These questions are somebody else, other people's questions, so I read it the way that they word it. Also, ¿cuáles son las causas de la falta de vida en Estados Unidos? What is the cause of homelessness in the United States? These are other people's questions. They're wording like that. So as you all sit back with your tea, with your coffee, with your water, and listen in as I read, let you all know what the word is on the street. See if you resonate with these people's ideas, with their solutions, with their what they're saying. Now, I'm going to give it a little personal a little bit. You all that have followed me on the podcast the last 4 years know that I am conservative. Not being taught conservative, I have a conservative ideology, mindset. So this is going to be most definitely interesting, and I'll most definitely give you my opinion. Now, so the person's question, what is your strategy to help America's homeless? Now, Ron answers the question, and he states, it isn't a solvable problem. We build housing projects, we build tiny house villages, we build homeless shelters, we have organizations like Habitat for Humanity and thousands of similar church-based programs. We have organizations where people donate use of a spare bedroom, garage, or other unused space. We pay for bus and train passes. We donate cars. We donate money. We donate clothing. We offer jobs and free training. He's saying we, meaning the United States as a whole, that's the structure set up to help the homeless. He also states, we baker at those found to be mentally ill. Many homeless still choose the street, he states, is not for a lack of effort or lack of ideas, is that there will always be some segment of the population that can't get it together or won't take the options available to them. It's not a problem society can solve. You can't save everyone, especially those who don't want to be saved. That's Ron's opinion. That's his viewpoint on homelessness. Now, what do you all think about what he stated? What do you all think about what he said? Now, that's what he stated. This question got a tremendous amount of answers and responses. His answer got a lot of people in agreement with it. Now, so what do you all think about what he stated? So that's something. Sandy states, issue number one, I start by examining why there are so many homeless. I agree with her point there, because if you start by examining why people are homeless, you'll be able to get people the help that they need. Now, if somebody is choosing to be homeless and they don't want help, they go with that group. Now, if somebody is mentally ill, or if they're drug addicted, or they're down on their luck financially, they'll go in different groups like that. Okay, I'm with her on that point. You have to differentiate. You have to count how many are homeless for what true reason that they give that associates them with being homeless or have created them, or the reason why they're homeless. So to get organized, I think that would be most definitely a good start, instead of guessing and thinking that all homeless people have the same mentality and that's why they're homeless, that it's a choice for all of them. So I agree with her on this point. Issue number one, she states, disability and disease. To start, the majority of homeless are sick and disabled. They end up homeless because they are denied Social Security disability and can't afford to live off no income for the 2 years it takes to get an appeal. Now, if she goes on about that, I agree with her first point about dividing people to ask them why they're homeless and putting that, categorizing them like that. Now, I don't agree with everything she's saying, even though I don't know what she's saying, but I do agree with that point. She stated that for some, it's due to disability and when they're denied it and they have to wait the 2 years for the appeal, so they can't afford to take care of themselves during that time period. So she states, to solution that, fits the approval process for SSI, SSDI, like that. Now, and she states, number two, reduce welfare by imposing time limits. All states need to adopt the rule that you must work to collect welfare unless disabled or in school full time. And since you're able to work, just like unemployment, there should be a time limit that you can receive cash and food stamps. There is already a time limit on the cash, TANF, in most, if not all states, but food stamps you can get for life. Welfare is supposed to be a temporary safety net for people to get a helping hand. It is not supposed to be a way of life. If they impose time limits and require a minimum period of 6 months to a year before being allowed to apply again to collect, states will have so much more money. That money saved can be used to create the emergency SSI, SSDI approval for people that are actually physically disabled and can't work, or mentally disabled and can't work. To approve a safety net that's desperately needed to keep the sick and disabled from losing everything just because they got too sick to work. I agree with her fully. Because after you categorize people and say, well, this one is homeless because of this, this one is homeless because of choice, this is because of homeless because of alcoholism, this one is homeless because of drug addiction, this one is homeless because they're down on the work, you would know where to take money from what program and where it would be best served. And people that are physically or mentally disabled to work, they should be first as it relates to receiving finances from the government and being taken care of. Somebody that is able to work physically and mentally, they should be, but they're down on their luck, they should be calculated second. Like that. I feel that the physically and mentally disabled, where you can't work, should be prioritized over anybody else. And funds need to be taken from programs like TANF or whatever you call the rest of them, where people are able to work, and food stamps, funds do need to be taken from there if those people are able to work mentally and physically. And they need to be placed, always prioritized first, those that are mentally incapable of working or physically incapable of working. That's what needs to be done. There needs to be a financial overhaul to these systems, and they need to prioritize where the money goes first and take money from those programs where those people are able-bodied and mentally able and put it into programs for those that aren't mentally body and able-bodied. And I don't know the name of all the programs, the government assistant, TANF and food stamps. Okay, so those people that are able to work, when you categorize them as physically able and mentally able, they should, she stated in most states that it is this way. Remember, this is just my opinion, and I am a conservative in ideology. I already told you all that. The people that are able to work, mentally and physically able, and they're not working, but they're receiving government assistance, food stamps, TANF, whatever, they should, and she stated in most states it is set up this way, they should be on it. They should only be able to get it if they are in school full time. I agree with that 100%. Or if they are working a job full time, or if they are working two part-time jobs. And then, yeah, there should be programs that supplement their income so that they won't be homeless. Because the rest of the money, the majority of the money, the prioritized money, in my opinion, should go to those that are physically disabled and mentally disabled and can't work like that. Now, she states also that the veterans programs need an overhaul. It's disgusting how some of the VAs treat our veterans. They fought for our freedom and they are repaid with poverty and homelessness. The SSDI Emergency Safety Net will help them as well while waiting for SSDI and veterans benefits to kick in. Now, I feel that it is an embarrassment for the United States to be considering itself a first world country and you have people that are disabled mentally and emotionally, or mentally or physically, excuse me, not emotionally, mentally or physically disabled, and be they veteran or normal, ordinary citizen, and they are having to wait a two-year period for a reevaluation process or an appeal to get funding from the government. Because what and who are they prioritizing if they're not prioritizing it? Physically disabled and mentally incapable. Who are they prioritizing? Those people should be getting funding right away, and there should never be an instance in the United States where it's been supposed to be a first world country where there's a lack of funds. There isn't a lack of funds. It's just the funding is not where it's supposed to be. The priority is what is lacking. The prioritizing is what is lacking. Now, issue number two, she states, addiction. This also falls under SSI and SSDI, but has more options to solve the problem. Fix SSI, she states, and SSDI, like I stated above. Number two for addiction, free treatment programs. The cost would again be covered from the billions saved in food stamps and TANF. The key to getting addicts off the street is to get them clean and working again. Once they complete treatment, they transition to welfare while still receiving SSDI for the transition period, which will help them with attaining employment and shelter. Staying in outpatient treatment until discharged by a doctor would be a requirement for the program, or funds would be cut off. I talked about drug addiction and homelessness 2 years ago on a podcast, and I stated this exact same thing, that if the United States, with other problems, they're quick to resolve them and solve them. Oh, the United States money. They will create a governmental body quickly that will get them their money within 24 hours from you. Now, so why can't they create and are supposed to be a first world country? Why can't they create a system that eradicates homelessness? And I even stated, we have so many alcoholic men in the United States, drug addicted men in the United States. Specifically, I was talking about the men when I talked about this 2 years ago. Why aren't those men got up off the street, cleaned up, and put to work? I even talked about the prison system. That's going to be a different podcast 2 years ago. Now, why is that not happening like that? And when it doesn't happen, even when people say, well, people choose to be on the street homeless, even if drugs aren't involved, mentally ill people choose homelessness and to be on the street and sleep on the street. Alcoholics choose homelessness and to be on the street and sleep on the streets. Drug addicts choose homelessness and to be on the street and sleep on the streets. That means that we're sitting back as a country, allowing the United States to become a third world country. That means if they're choosing that, their decision needs to be, overridden because they're not the only people that live in the United States. And if people chose to be out homeless, to be, what do you call them? People that beg on the street. This is a word for it. Okay, that means that we're letting them decide the country like that and the presentation of the country. We need to take the majority of people into consideration and what would be best for them if the homeless people are choosing to be homeless for whatever reason and create the United States into a third world country by appearance. They don't need to get the right to have that choice. Like that, as opposed to they have the right to have the choice and the rest of us don't have the right to live in a country that is decent and presentable and to say anything against it. The United States has a problem with allowing the minority to have the biggest voice and to do what they want to do. And the rest of us has to just zip it and live with it. And they'll say that we're letting them do it because it's bad to take their right away. But well, so it's okay to take our right to protest that which they are allowed to do that also affects us away, is what you're saying? Now, number three, she states, runaways, orphans, and foster people. Now, this is the toughest, she states. This is involves changing laws to protect children from abuse. A lot of kids run away to get away from abusive parents, guardians, and foster homes. Number one, when they are located by authorities, they are usually returned to their abusers. If a child has run away and is claiming abuse, they should be kept in custody until the claim has been investigated. I think this is supposed to happen now, but doesn't always happen like this, she states. Remember, this is her opinion. What do you have to offer to the discussion? What is your strategy for solving the homeless problem in the United States? Number two, limit the amount of children foster homes can receive and strict the vetting process, including psychological evaluation. Number three, auditing of where money given by the state for the child is being used. That should be priority number one with any type of government program. There should be monthly audits. And my question is, why do we have so many different government programs and people with jobs and they're not doing their jobs correctly? And we just say the excuse is because they're overworked and the system is overcrowded. Why is the system overworked and overcrowded? There needs to be a division for different groups of people that are homeless according to that reason for the homelessness. And if, and being choice being homelessness isn't an option. It's been the option for those that choose to be on the street and be beggars. Okay, the rest of us are Americans, and we feel that that choice impedes on our right to live in a country that doesn't have that type of atmosphere. And that is the government's job to solution. And the solutions need to be different and better than what they were before. Like that. So, limit the amount of children in foster homes, she states. Okay, auditing of where money given by the state for the child is being used. This could help to prevent people fostering children just for the paycheck. She's correct. Give incentives to encourage adoption of foster children. That's right. Number four, she states, domestic violence. This one should be easier than the last. Right now, there are so many resources for women who've escaped their abuser to not be left homeless. They can go to shelters just for DV victims and be given a room for them and their children. Clothes, makeup, toiletries, financial support, counseling, job training, and placement. So much help is available if you are a female, she states. She states, number one, there needs to be shelters for men as well. It could be the same shelter for women to save money. Just segregate the population for privacy and protection. Men are just as likely to be abused, but more likely not to speak out due to embarrassment. They have been raised to never hit a woman, so they take beatings so as not to hit her. Same-sex marriages, relationships can be abusive as well. The assumption that only women could be victims and need help need to change. I've been preaching that the whole 5 years I've been on the tube. Now, so I feel that she is correct. And I feel that the choice, saying that homelessness is a choice, it's time to get out of that mindset and mentality. And if it is a choice, it's time for that choice and right to be taken. Because you can't choose that because they're not living in the United States by themselves. The people that are choosing to live and beg on the street. They are living in a country with other people. And the majority of us, we don't like seeing that. On our way to work, on our way to school, on our way to be out. So this choice and right should be taken away from them as opposed to choice and right taken away from us the way it always has been. And we have to put up with it. The United States needs to gather them all up, section them all off based on what is the reason that they're homeless. And then you create the government program that aligns itself with that reason. Like that. So the reason could be eradicated. Homelessness is not an option. Drug addiction doesn't need to be an option. Alcoholism doesn't need to be an option. In a third world country, it's not an option. I mean, well, in a third world country, it is an option. In a first world country, it's not an option. And we can say, well, a first world country is about the freedom to live and do what you want to do. No, a first world country has the mentality that you can do what you want to do after other people that you have to live in that country with has been taken into consideration fully, because what you do affects them. Tell me alcoholism being a choice, the person has the right to drink until the sun sets and it rises again. But tell me that doesn't affect other people if they decide, because they have a choice and a right to make their own decision, to drive a car and they kill somebody. So how can you make your own decision and have the right to make your own decision when what you decide can affect somebody else? You only can make your own decisions when you live in a country by yourself. That's when you have the right to decide for yourself and choose for yourself. Just like with drug addicts, they have the people say with the mentality of they have the right to be drug addicts. That's their body. They're the drug addict. No, they don't, unless they live in a country by themselves. Because when that drug addict can't get the money and they decide to break in somebody's house. Okay, so why are they having the right to do something that could cause harm to other people? It's not that they're going to be the drug addict and it's only going to cause harm to them. That's not logical. And facts and statistics shows us that's not how it's played out. It has not played out that way where they're the only ones harmed. That's why their right to be that needs to be eradicated. We had that experiment and it's backfired. Now, we've had that experiment and it's backfired. You know, is my opinion on it. That is my opinion. Christian states there's not much that we could do to help the homeless. Shelters already exist, and many of the people sleeping on the streets are doing so by choice. Forcing them to sleep indoors when they don't want to because we think it's better for them seems more cruel to me than leaving them alone. No, because if they were the only people in the United States and they want to sleep on the street, that's them. Because it's not affecting anybody. Nobody has to seize them. Nobody has to deal with them. Now, or walk past them or ignore them. Nobody has to do that. When you live in a country amongst other people, you have to take people in consideration. And when people are making decisions like being homeless or being on drugs or being alcoholics, that affects everybody because they're going to be begging for money. They're going to be laying in front of stores. They're going to be laying in front of your apartment building. They're going to be laying in front of your office where you go to work. They're going to be running to your cars while you're stopped at the red light. So if your choice allows you to do something that only affects you and brings nobody else into it, by all means. But if your choice also incorporates other people, you don't have the choice should be taken. You don't have the right, is what it is. We've already had this experiment. We've had this experiment, you know. And they should be gathered up. And that's a first world country. And the men should be cleaned up that on the street and put to work. You know, and the people should be cleaned up and put to work. And the government has the power to do it. they asserted a lot of their power in 2019 and in 2020. Against us, against our will, they asserted it. So why can't they assert it to make a better United States, as opposed to saying, well, these people had a choice, they could do it, it's just their life. No, it's not their life. It's creating the United States is beginning to look like a third world country. What's your opinion? What's your viewpoint? I'm getting heated, so I'm going to leave it there. Until next time, that's my take on it. What more do you have to add to the discussion? Bye.